The Holy Spirit is the one who calls us together to be this body, the church, here in this place. And we celebrate with so many others who are gathering on this day as well. I am thankful for Brett and for Sally for hosting us last Sunday for our second annual pumpkin launch. And we got to see pumpkins flying through the air, pumpkins flying behind us, pumpkins hitting Evelyn Brumbaugh. Are you okay? She's still recovering. Pumpkins hitting a cow. Oops. But also a great time of fellowship and friendship together. We gathered around the fire and had a good time and lots of laughs and lots of good times. And thanks to you guys for providing that, and for Amber for making us some candied apples, and just a good time. The church that plays together stays together, right? So we had some playtime last week. If you saw yesterday's newspaper, there was an article in there about our coat drive. So if you haven't thrown that away yet, keep that. There's a copy of it out on the bulletin board if you haven't seen it yet. Very nice, and thanks to Jenny for being willing to be interviewed for that. And the word's getting out. God is alive and well and doing great things here in Winbur and using this body, the church, to make those things happen. So glory to God. And Leon is heading to Philadelphia. Yeah. He was truly lost. Leon came from Stoystown and got lost along the way. He was trying to get back to the turnpike and ended up here. So I got him on the 56 on his way home, and we'll begin praying safe travels for him. Let's go into Scripture this morning, into the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 34th verse. I invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit as you are directed by God to pay reverence to the Scripture that's before us today. Listen for Jesus. He will speak to you through these words. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures have been read and your word is proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you say to us today. May I decrease, and may your Holy Spirit increase in all that is said in this time. It is yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Which is the greatest? The disciples and the people living in Jesus' day like to have these debates among each other about what is the greatest, the greatest commandment. Which of us 12 disciples is the greatest disciple? We aren't far from that. All you got to do is turn on the sports channel and you'll hear the debate. Which is the greatest quarterback of all time? Who's the greatest hockey player? We know it's Mario Lemieux, but they have those simple surveys anyway. What is the greatest Super Bowl that's ever been played? Who was the greatest boxer? We have these debates. We like to judge ourselves against each other. We like to judge groups against other groups. Which is the greatest of this? Which is the greatest of that? And in the time of Jesus, the Pharisees would sit around the table there, and they would have these kind of debates. Which of the laws do you think is the greatest law? And they would have very, very scholarly debates about which law of Moses in the Old Testament, which is the greatest one. And they would have these long, into the night conversations, debating with each other, well, this commandment is the greatest because X, Y, and Z. Or this commandment is the greatest because of A, B, and C. And they would have these debates among each other. And they would tie themselves in knots trying to outdo each other on which commandment they thought was the greatest commandment. And so, they come to Jesus. And what they would really like to do is to trap Jesus. They were looking for ways to catch Jesus in something that they could use to kill him. They did not like his teachings. They thought he was a radical, and the way that they wanted to get rid of him was to have him killed. They were hoping that in this conversation that they were going to lure Jesus into a trap. And Jesus answers the question, and he picks a commandment that is mentioned exactly one time in Scripture when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's only mentioned once. But the first commandment, the most important commandment, is one that the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, would know very well because they said it every day. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was part of their DNA. It was what they did constantly to remind themselves that they belong to God. Every single day, you'd get up, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself as you took your bath. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as they were making their way to their daily business. It was ingrained into them. And so when Jesus would say that that is the greatest commandment, the Jewish people had no trouble with that. Oh, yes. Yes, you've spoken so wisely. But Jesus goes further. It says the second commandment mentioned one time in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a hard one to do. And many times they would have debates about, well, okay, if I love my neighbor as myself, well, who is my neighbor? Because if you're not my neighbor, then I don't have to love you. And so Jesus would tell parables about even Samaritans, the outcasts, the least and the lost in their society. They're the ones who act like neighbors. Well, you people who debate and have these long conversations about which law is the greatest, while you're busy having the discussion, the Samaritan's out doing the work of being a neighbor. Jesus said, these commandments act like tent poles, or act like clotheslines that hold up all the rest of the law. And the Pharisees found about 619 laws in the Scripture, and they liked to catch people disobeying them. So here we have a little clothesline. Sorry, you work with what you got, you know? But love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The foundations that all of the laws hang on. Have no other gods before me. Make no idols. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't be jealous. I'm missing some. That's all right. I am going to hang those there. All of the laws hang upon the solid foundation. It makes sense. If I love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul, with all my strength, then why would I want to serve any other God? Why would I have any other God before God if I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? It would be impossible. That commandment to love, to have no other gods, clings to the commandment to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. why would I want to harm or kill my neighbor if I love my neighbor as myself? All of the law hangs on that. Why would I want to steal what God has given to someone else? First of all, I know that God gave it to them, and I love God. But also, I love my neighbor, and I don't want to do them harm. I love them like I love myself. Why would I want to cheat on my wife? That's one that I forgot. Don't commit adultery. I know. I won't do it again. Why would I want to do that? Because if I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and God has placed this lady in my life, why would I want to do anything to harm that relationship? But also, if I love my neighbor as myself, then I should obviously love my wife just as much, if not more. All of the laws that the Hebrews could come up with, that the Pharisees could write down and debate for hours, all hang upon those two foundations. The commandments simply show us how to live those two basic foundations, loving God and loving neighbor. In the Methodist tradition, one of the founders, John Wesley, described it this way. First, do no harm. Avoid evil. Don't do things that will harm your neighbor. But secondly, do good. Show your neighbor love. Do things that will improve your community, your neighborhood, and the life of your neighbor. And thirdly, attend to the ordinances of God. Go to church. Celebrate the sacraments. Spend time in prayer, both by yourself and in groups and your family. Spend time with God. In those ways, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you'll be loving your neighbor as yourself. The great thing about these commandments is that laws come and go. Congress passes a law and this thing is illegal and this thing is now legal. They come and go. But these two foundations, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, will never fall out of style. They can never be done away with the stroke of a pen. They are eternally secure. And they are so because they demonstrate the very heart of God. That God has love for us and expects and asks love in return and expects us to share the love that we have with God with the people in our lives around us. If we do those things, then we'll be on the right path. We have reached the end of the Ten Commandments. Yay! God loves you, and so do I. Amen.